Eleanor Albert, and I'm concluding my second interview with, or rather beginning my second interview with Alexandra Dove. It's Friday, October 3rd. And I thought we would go back a little bit to your early years as a graduate student and talk about what you felt you had achieved at that time in terms of publications or any other contributions that you made.
Well, so my thesis was submitted, and then two papers were published with that material, with basically the material for my thesis. That I didn't have any prior publications to that.
Was were the subject something that you continued to work on, or
no? Not really. That was the end of that phase of my work.
And that phase again was
having to do with microbial metabolism and control mechanisms.
And was there a mentor you had at that time?
Oh yes, Professor Boris Magasanik, who was the chair of the biology department at that time at MIT, although when I had begun with him, he was at the Harvard Medical School.
And when you then diverged in your interest, was there a mentor who helped you break into that new area?
Well, yes. I worked in the lab of Sydney Brenner in Cambridge, England, for a year and a half, and he is a very extraordinary person who really gave me a great deal of help, I think.
Well, thinking about your own years as a student and thinking about students today or the world they face in medical research, what advice would you give to students today who are thinking of going into the field?
That depends so much on the person, of course, but if they're thinking of going into academic research as opposed to some applied research, that's what I presume you mean.
Yes.
I don't have specific advice. It's one has to really work very hard to get funding. Many people think teaching is a bore, but in fact, I think teaching does have great value. I mean, not only obviously for the students who are being taught, but even for the teacher. Although I've not taught myself in a formal sense, having to explain things to somebody who doesn't know the area often helps to clarify one's thinking and helps to increase one's understanding.
Well, if someone came to you and asked whether or not they should become an MD, PhD, and try to go into research, you would say then it's difficult, but...
It's difficult, but very rewarding. Mm-hmm. And there are so many potentials now. You know, so many techniques have opened up that, you know, one can do things today that one couldn't dream of doing some decades ago. And it's changing so rapidly.
As far as your own children went, were they interested in the field at all?
No, I think they specifically avoided it. Our middle son, we used to think was the one who seemed most interested in science, but he's now on the faculty in a department of Spanish and Portuguese. So
So they just simply didn't have the interest.
I think it's partly to not want to compete. I think it's difficult if you have parents who are in a similar field with to each other for children to want to just get into the same thing, I think.
Right. Of course, you your father was in a similar field, but
well,
not your mother.
Yeah, but not exactly.
I mean,
he was in physical, his field was physical chemistry, theory of solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly wasn't about to try to do that.
I see. Well, it's probably a very common a common situation that, although I think, just as an aside, years ago there, you would find families of physicians. But,
yes, but that's a little different.
Yeah.
I think being a family of lawyers or a family of physicians is not quite the same as a research oriented.
Right. That has different areas of competitiveness.
Right.
Actually,
I think so.
Well, what would you say your greatest success has been?
Well, my goodness.
I'm asking the hard questions now.
Right. Greatest success in terms of career.
Yeah.
Right. I guess working out the way to treat mice, to mutagenize mice, to develop germline mutagenesis in the mouse. I think our group was amongst the first to do that. And it then subsequently became a very popular approach mm-hmm. to try to access various kinds of problems that were not readily accessed.
Before that, yeah.
Before, yes.
And approximately how long ago did you do that?
That was the mid-80s.
And so subsequently you've been using that technique?
Well, we did. Now we're no longer using that technique, but mm-hmm. we now have models that we think, you know, so the current focus is on the models that currently exist, mm-hmm. one in the rat and one in the mouse.
And last time you talked about the emphasis now on how animals in research should be
treated,
overseen. Mm-hmm. What do you think about those changes, and would they have affected your work if they had been in place at that time?
Well, no, I think they wouldn't have affected the work, actually. I think, one, we would have had to do things rather differently. I think, I mean, overall, I think it is a good thing that these protocols, as they're called, mm-hmm. are in place. I think it does ensure a more appropriate treatment of animals. And of course, this is partly designed to correct the animal rights
mm-hmm.
Movement, which of course is designed to prevent all research on animals. And I think that's not appropriate.
Was that ever a problem in your lab, the animal rights people?
No, it has not been directly, although we spent much of a year in England where it is a potential problem.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be notices that would be sent out, beware incendiary bombs in your mailbox.
Dear. So that's pretty serious.
That's, yes.
But there isn't anyone working with primates, I would, in your...
Not in our, not our group, no.
Not,
no, I mean, there certainly is a big... No, not in McArdle.
Would you have had any problem if your work had involved primates?
Oh, well, that's a different situation altogether,
mm-hmm.
yes.
No, I mean personally.
Well, it's, I mean, one wouldn't have been doing the kind of work I was doing, so
that's true.
It's not quite a fair question.
Right.
A,
Well, I'm. Is the are the programs that you're involved with, the protocols that you're involved with, do they include protocols for primates? Are they
No. It's specifically, we have one protocol that deals with rats.
I see.
And another protocol that deals with mice.
So you haven't
and
really.
And these are quite separate.
Quite different. Yeah. I see.
Yeah.
Are there any other requirements now in terms of research that have changed how people are doing research in the lab just because of the kinds of paperwork and bureaucracy that's involved? That's a leading question.
Yeah, right. Well, I think one does have to account for potential safety issues in a way that one didn't when I was being trained.
Mm-hmm.
And so safety for the human personnel as well as for animals.
I see.
And so that does require, for example, that one cannot house animals in substandard conditions or overcrowded conditions, which means the cost of doing the work has gone up dramatically.
I see. Yes, that's that definitely I think is a big drain on.
It's a big issue.
Yeah.
Yes.
On another but related issue, there have been in recent years articles or information coming out about people who have not been totally honest in reporting their research. And what's your feeling about that? Has that been an involvement in any way for you, or has it changed the way reporting is done on research, or how research is?
Well, I think first of all, it's a rare event.
Mm-hmm.
It's remarkably rare, I think, and it goes so counter to the whole outlook of the researcher that one wants to find out the truth about some issue, and to have somebody make up
mm-hmm.
results is just mind-boggling to me. So in terms of, I think, oversight, I don't think it's changed very much. And because one does have to have peer review of articles or of papers to be
right.
published in at least the well-respected journals, well-known journals. And the peer review, of course, it's not perfect, but it is the best we can do at the moment. And I think it is actually very effective. It really works very well.
Do you think it's the stress of competition that may be responsible for this?
Well, I think in the case that I'm thinking of right now, which was on this campus, I don't know the person terribly well, and I'm not a psychiatrist to be able to analyze this person. So I imagine it was the threat, it was competition, and also funding were driving this.
Yes.
But it's, it's probably more complex than that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there may be power issues, or which is perhaps part of competition, but
right.
It's... And I think that individual may really have believed that, in fact, the results that were being presented were the right results.
I see.
But nonetheless, that doesn't excuse.
And approximately when was this
Well, it's
happening?
Within the last 5 years.
I see. And what was that in cancer research or?
No, it was in genetics.
Genetics, I see. Along with this, there now is on papers that are submitted for publication, there tend to be much longer lists of authors.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And what have you got to say about that trend?
Well, I think some of that is driven by the fact that there are many specialized techniques that no one person necessarily is competent to carry out. And so with this increasing specialization, I think one tends to collaborate with groups.
I see.
So that you get many names.
Yeah. So you feel that's simply a function of the way research is done today?
Not every paper will have many, many, many names, but I think in certain areas of research, at least, it's more common, and I think that is a function of, yes, the degree of specialization to try to approach a problem from different angles.
I see, yeah.
And try to put together a view that may have come from different sides.
Yeah, well, there are, I know with the academic journals, there are requirements now to give credit to.
Oh, yes.
people who may not have been considered part of the group in terms of the writing or.
Yes,
whatever.
I mean, there are different schools of thought. Some people do feel, I'm one of them, that I would not want my name put on a paper if I haven't had a direct. Contact with the work. If I couldn't defend the work myself,
I see.
I wouldn't want my name on it.
Right.
And so I have often refused if I've just essentially supplied material. I feel it's not appropriate to have my name on a paper. They can thank me if they like for providing the material, but as an author, I feel one should really be able to defend the work, and that of course is commonly not the case with these very long authorships.
Right.
But
I wanted just to have you mention the fact that early on you used your maiden name of Shedlovsky.
Yeah.
And do you still use that for, when you are on a paper? Or
yes,
for your work?
That is the name on which I publish.
Career. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I suppose we talked a little bit about women today, and just to recap, would your advice to women going into the field be any different than for men at this point?
No, I don't think so.
And you had said that at the time you came to UW, your position was not a tenure track position.
And it still isn't. It's not.
But nowadays, if someone were in your position, could it be a tenure track position?
Oh, well, I mean, there is a, the so-called scientist track.
Yeah.
Was set up to be a parallel to the faculty track. And so there are three levels. There's an assistant, associate, and a full scientist.
I see.
Those are the three categories. And they are still not tenured.
Even the final?
It's not a tenured track. It's academic staff than faculty.
So that hasn't changed at all since.
No, I don't think so.
You came.
Right. I mean, that track didn't exist when we first came. That was developed, I think, in the 70s, if I remember correctly.
And What do you think the impetus was for them to establish this?
There were, we always know there are, often there are people who, for one reason or another, for example, the wife of some professor
right.
might have appropriate training to do some work, but for family considerations doesn't want to be mm-hmm. a faculty member. That was my situation, for example. I didn't want to become a faculty member because I had these family commitments.
Mm-hmm.
And so it suited me very well, actually, to have just the research, as long as, of course, I was assuming I would be funded.
Right. But when you're on that track, then, you don't have to go to all the meetings and have the committee assignments, or do you?
Well, it depends. That varies greatly. I mean, typically in the sciences, there'll be group meetings just within one group, and certainly somebody in scientific track would be expected to attend
right.
and make presentations, to give seminars,
mm-hmm.
and in terms of university committees, that varies. I am on a university committee now, although I'm not faculty.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So.
So basically, what would be the difference for you of having been on the faculty?
Well, I think I would have teaching perhaps.
I see.
And funding.
Get your own funding. I see.
And that's rather a large.
Yeah, a large commitment.
Commitment.
Are there other people in the lab on that track?
On the scientist track?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
And do
there
they choose?
Two. Well, one of them I know would like to be on the faculty, and perhaps will be,
mm-hmm.
but not yet.
Can you move from one track?
Oh, yes.
You can move?
Oh, yes. Well, one needs to be, as with any faculty appointment, one
right.
has to be recruited by some department.
I see. But not... You wouldn't necessarily move within your own department?
Not unless your department chose to recruit you.
I see. Were there any awards that you received in your many years in research?
Awards? Well, not really. No. No.
Well, there are many... scientific awards.
Yes, no,
these days.
I've not been
a recipient.
No, I haven't.
Right. I think that I have pretty much gone through my list of questions. Is there anything that you can think of that you think would be helpful for people who are reading this to look back on sort of the evolution of research at UW?
Well, I don't have, I guess, I think it is, there are people who are interested in history.
Right.
And I actually am more interested in history than I used to be, and maybe that's something that comes with age. But I think it is interesting to see how people's perspectives change, and I guess I can't imagine anybody wanting to read this entire...
Well, it's... it's... unusual for women in science to have done as much as you have, beginning at the time that you did. It was a field that was, I think, unless I'm wrong, primarily male-dominated.
Oh, yes, it was. It was primarily male-dominated. But, I think I was perhaps in the right place at the right time.
Well, It's interesting also that you did not feel that as a woman you were up against any more greater difficulties.
And I think that's partly because I deliberately chose not to compete in the sense of trying to get a faculty position.
That was
not what, not something I wanted to do, actually.
Do you think it was more difficult in those days for a woman to get a faculty position?
Yes, I think so. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, it's definitely easier now.
So that's been a big change, but it hasn't affected you because of...
Exactly, because of my choice.
Your choice.
Right.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Okay.